Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm your host, or co-host, I should say, Rodney Fisher, joined by my other co-host, Royce Fisher. And we got a lot to talk about in this episode. We want to, first of all, apologize for last week. We had the week off, but we're back with a lot of things to discuss, Royce, from NBA to a lot of local news with the Mavericks and Cowboys and all the good stuff. But before we start, how are you this evening, first of all?
Right now, I'm good today. I'm getting ready for the football season to start. I'm watching a lot of round-the-clock action on some of the teams. I'm getting kind of hyped for football.
Okay. Well, yeah. It's hard to, football, of course, training camp and preseason starting, but it's hard to feel like to get ready for football. I always wait till when the weather kind of turns a little bit. It's still pretty hot, but once it gets kind of cool, I kind of feel like I know football is coming.
You'll be ready when the Tampa Bay plays Dallas. You'll be ready the week before.
Oh, I'll definitely be ready by then. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. Well, let's jump right into it. Let's start off our discussion tonight with, I'm sure you're getting a lot of these questions like I am, and that's about our local team here, the team we cover the most, the Dallas Mavericks, and some of the moves that they've been making in free agency, starting off with signing their young star, Luka Doncic, being the first NBA player to ever take advantage of this max contract rookie extension, 5 years, $207 million. And it doesn't actually start until not this season, but after this season is over. So it's really like a 6-year deal that we have them locked in. Of course, the fifth year of that contract deal is a player option. But needless to say, they locked him up, and he's got the biggest deal ever for a rookie on the second contract, all because he made the All-NBA team. But what do you think about, this signing? And, I mean, where do we start? I mean, the whole staff went over to Slovenia to get this deal done. I don't think there was any doubt that he was going to sign here. He says this is what he wanted. This is his home, but the Mavs are basically, I guess they didn't have a choice but to hitch their wagon to the young star, right?
Absolutely. It's a no-brainer, Rodney. He's a once-in-a-lifetime player. And the way these guys are jumping teams, I would lock him down. That's the kind of guy you want to keep around his whole career, like Dirk was with Dallas. And I think that's probably one of the best moves the Mavs could make, is go ahead and lock him down. And hopefully they can get him to a championship and get some players around him. So
yes,
it is the right thing to sign him long term.
Let me ask you, he earned it. There's no doubt about it. I mean, if you watched him over the last 3 years and the way he's played, he's earned it. I mean, he's been on two All-NBA teams. He's been an All-Star. He's gotten him back into the playoffs. We got them as a contender. And then also, he's on the cover of NBA 2K. I mean, that's only reserved for those people that are not only faces of franchises, but the face of the league. I've heard people say that, I'm with you. I think this is a great move, but I heard the naysayers or the haters say it's a lot going on, a lot pretty fast, because whenever a guy signs a deal this big, that people are going to start kind of being creatures or falling to the moment, saying that, oh, he's a top five player in the league, or he's a face of the NBA. I mean, I'm asking you, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I really saying that. And, and you forgot about the Olympics, what he showed in the Olympics. He was the talk of the whole Olympics in Tokyo. But, You can tell. You've seen Luka play. I've seen him play. I've seen him up close, and we kind of follow his career. And, Rodney, the talent is there. I mean, how many players that done what he's done in a short amount of time and accomplished what he has? And you can just tell he's going to be a star for a long time, no doubt about it. So, I mean, the naysayers going to talk anyway. LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, all those guys are getting older. So if somebody's going to take over the NBA, Kevin Durant's still around, but somebody's going to take it over when they leave.
Yeah, and he's poised to be that guy. along with some other guys as well too. You know, we have a caller on. Let's see if we can bring the caller on. Hopefully this goes well. Let's bring the caller on real quick. Welcome to the RF Sports Radio Show. You have a comment about Luka, about the NBA. What's your comment, caller?
Yes. I mean, Luka looks like he's on his way to becoming a new face of the NBA. I mean, he has become such a dominant player. And, you know, even though I'm a Knicks fan, I enjoy watching him play. He's gonna be, you know, some might think by comparing maybe to Jordan and whatnot, or maybe Kobe. Mm. I mean, he's on his way.
Pump the brakes a little bit. When you talk Jordan and Kobe, that's when it kind of gets complicated, because let's face it, he hasn't gotten past. He hasn't done much in the playoffs yet.
But I look at it like this.
So Jordan Wild too.
Go ahead, Carla.
I mean, it took Jordan, six, 7 years to get his first championship?
Right.
Take a good time. He's going to make it. I mean,
I believe that, too. They have to get some guys around him to help him. But I think he's poised to be one of the best players in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
If not one of the best. You know, one of the things I was going to ask you, and Carla, while we have you on, I appreciate you calling in. I'm just going to ask you, what do you think about what the Mavs have done with Luka in free agency? They really haven't added any big pieces. We did get a brand new coach, which is great. We definitely needed that. But, you know, he's going to have to play with Porzingis again. I mean, I know you're a Knicks fan, so I'm sure you've got an opinion about Porzingis. I mean, what do you think about still pairing him with Porzingis, and is that going to be enough to help him?
The Achilles heel, that could be the big problem, because as most people who followed him through the Knicks, he was very injury-prone and unreliable. If he was healthy, he would have went further, but with all his injuries and whatnot, that brought the Knicks down. So that might be the only thing, the Achilles heel for Luka. Got to check your eye on Porzingis. I mean, it was great to start out with, to start out with, he was doing well. But then in his second, third year, kept getting injured, and it brought the Knicks down. So I'm just hoping it's not going to continue on, you know, with Luka with the Mavericks.
Probably the best thing for the Knicks was to get rid of Porzingis.
Yeah.
They've gotten better since they got rid of him.
Exactly.
Well, we appreciate you calling in. Make sure you check us out again, man. But stay on with us. We appreciate you calling in.
I have one question, Rodney. How do you feel about the Knicks?
How do you feel about the Knicks?
Well, I mean, a lot of people were surprised by the success they had this year. I mean, nobody really gave them much of a chance. But I think with the addition of, like, say, Obi-Wan Kenobi, well, you call Obi Toppin. I think they helped. That's my little joke. It helped a lot because I saw him play during his college years, and you know, I thought, you know, this can be what the Knicks really need.
Yeah, he's a local kid as well.
Yeah,
no doubt. But thanks for calling in, man. Stay tuned for the show. We appreciate it.
All right.
So let's go back to that point he was making, what we're talking about with Porzingis, Royce. I want to get your opinion on what the Mavs have done in free agency. They did sign Tim Hardaway again. Today they signed Boban again for another contract. They also brought in Sterling Brown. Speaking of Knicks, they brought in Keith Bullock as well. So tell me, what do you think about what they've done in free agency?
I kind of like some of the moves. I'm going to have the wait-and-see attitude. I don't think they did enough. They didn't land none of the big fish. I'd like to get somebody like Kyle Lowry or some other point guard to take the weight off of Luka. But I'm going to have a wait-and-see attitude. And then, like I say, it depends on the coaching. What is the coaching going to be like? You know, what is Kidd going to do? You know, this year, by far as coaching. And I'm going to wait and see attitude, but I don't think they got that much better. I don't see championship in the near future with this squad.
You know, it's like they didn't do a lot of player movement in the offseason, but you could make the argument that they had probably one of the busiest off seasons of all the teams. You know, the fact that they basically changed the entire front office from head coach to GM to now even Michael Finley being assistant GM, bringing on Dirk. And then the fact that the whole staff, including some of our guys in the media department, Scott Tomlin and a few others, all went out there to Slovenia to get this deal done with Luka. They're putting forward a good foot. They're putting forward a good face, I think, to other free agents, people that may be looking. From my understanding, they're still not done. There's still a little uncertainty that they may go after Goran Dragic again, even though he's a lot older than he was, you know, 3 years ago when we tried this before, when Luka first came here. But at the same time, their biggest acquisition was the head coach and the GM. So I think that Cuban's kind of – maybe he's going to allow these guys to do what they want to do and not try to get too involved and making moves. And because we remember, if we go back in history, remember when Dirk was that budding superstar trying to get over the hump? Cuban got very involved, bringing in all kinds of different guys, from Keith Van Horn to Ralph LaFrance to everybody. You know, he was trying out all kinds of different things to find that right mix of players before they can get the title. And then inevitably, it really took a change in coach, bringing in Carlisle and getting the system together that could play winning basketball. So maybe this is a recipe for that to happen again, perhaps.
Well, it was time. They got stagnant. The last, since 2011, they hadn't done much. You know, I think they were just to make the playoffs and get knocked out the first round. It's not good enough for this team and the people of Dallas. And, you know, you and I have been critical of Carlisle the last couple of years. And Donnie Nelson, you know, he got Luka, but he hadn't done much since. And I don't think that they made Dallas attractive enough to free agents to come here. And then, you know, with a new group of guys like Kidd and general manager and Michael Finley and Dirk all getting involved, you know, they may be able to pull some top-name guys to Dallas. So, you know, it was time, and it's a good thing. Every team has got younger.
Yeah.
And Dallas, one of the old, you know, some of the old guys still around, you know. So this may be a good thing for Dallas. But it's going to take a while. It's not going to happen the first year. It's going to take a while. You know, they're getting exposed to those guys a while to, you know, become good coaches. You know, so we'll see. Some guys are lucky. They inherit a good team.
Right.
So I'm going to have a wait-and-see attitude.
Yeah, my wait-and-see is going to be how him and Porzingis change the dynamic from last year. I think, you know, Kidd could be a big help for that. And Dirk as well, too. Dirk can get in there and work with him also, too. I think that would be a huge help. So I want to see how that dynamic between those two guys change. And during the press conference that morning, you know, one of the things that he said that reminded me of his relationship with Porzingis was they asked him about, you know, why his team, his Olympic team, was so successful. And he kept bringing up the fact that we trust each other. That we're really friends, that we don't mind passing to each other. We really are working on the same goal. And I just kept thinking in my mind, like, you know, what is he saying? You know, is he really saying, hey, I need guys on my team that we all can trust each other, get along, and maybe he's talking about Porzingis in that respect. I don't know. And then too, maybe the Mavs are not done. You know, maybe they're working on something that we don't know about.
Well, I should hope so, but it depends on how they play for Porzingis. Do they put him at the four, the five? You know, you got to move him around. You got to find his spot. I don't like him sitting out there knocking down threes.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, he's got to develop some kind of inside game or mid-range game, you know, because if he's going to stand there and shoot threes, you can almost stay off of him or just send one guy. But if you can pull a guy off of Luka, off of Zinger, that'll free up Luka and other guys. So it depends on how a kid plays it.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Well, in other free agency talk, we got to talk about the other team that we like to cover a lot, at least I like to talk about a lot, and that's the guys out west, the purple and gold, the Los Angeles Lakers, who coming off of, I would say, a disappointing season. But they've added, they've revamped their entire roster. I mean, they got rid of their youth, the little youth that they had, and they brought in all veterans. They brought Dwight Howard back. They brought in Carmelo Anthony. And of course, the big trade for Russell Westbrook, bringing him back in. I don't know where to start here, man. I don't know what the starting five is going to look like. I feel like they don't have a bench at all. But again, this is classic LeBron, you know, putting together the veteran guys that are hungry, that want to get a championship. And I don't think you can name two other veterans in the league right now that are hungry for a championship more than Carmelo and Russell Westbrook. I think those two guys are probably got to be in the top five guys that are really hungry veterans that have been in the league for a substantial amount of time that are looking to try to get their first championship ring.
Well, I can say they do have the most experienced team in the NBA because these guys have been around a long time. I call it the over-the-hill game.
Yeah.
But the factor with them is that going to outdo talent. You know, these young guys, you got a lot of young guys, a lot of good teams come up in the West.
Mm-hmm.
That experience is going to override talent and help. I don't, you know, that's going to be a big problem for the Lakers. Are these guys going to be able to stay out there and stay on the floor with no bench? I know you predicting them to make the playoffs. You said they were going to the finals. I don't believe that. I think talent is going to come out on top over experience and help.
Yeah, I'm not. I on paper, if we had to pick today, I would have them coming out of the West. But again, like you said, injuries are going to play a part of it. These guys are older. They don't have a bench right now. That's going to be an issue. They don't have a lot of youth. That's going to be an issue. Now, here's the thing that it reminds me of. You talk about history repeating itself. Do you remember when Kobe and Shaq? The last year they played together, I believe that was, and they were trying to get back to winning. They had lost, I think they had lost the year before, and they ended up bringing in Karl Malone, Gary Payton. You remember that? And they got swept by the Spurs that year.
Absolutely.
I mean, but they brought in all those guys that were searching for a ring. Karl Malone, Gary Payton, a few other guys. I can't remember who else was on that roster, but that was a disaster. I mean, on paper, they should have been the best team in history, and it turned out to be a disaster when it came playoff time because, again, as you know, it takes a while for these things to really gel and come together, and that was kind of what happened to them last year. They made all those roster moves last year after the championship with Dennis Schroeder and all these other guys, and they still couldn't kind of put it together because, of course, injuries, whatever the case may be. But now they have no youth. I mean, KCP was your guy off the bench, you know. Caruso was your guy off the bench. Kyle Kuzma, though he was streaky at times, he was your guy off the bench. So I don't know who.
And Caruso
was a big
part of that team. Caruso was a big part of that team. He's gone.
Right.
And, you know, Houston did the same thing. They brought in Clyde Drexler and Charles Barkley, and they came up short.
Scottie Pippen.
But like I said, right. But, you know, that's not always a winning combination.
Right.
I think these young guys are more athletic. You see them. I mean, these guys, look at John Morant, and you got to look at the Clippers. You got to look at Golden State. You got to look at, you know, Phoenix, you know, Dallas. I mean, you got some great teams in the West. It's going to be extremely hard for the Lakers to come out of the West.
It's going to be tough.
The Mavs
are going to be there. Like you said, Memphis is coming up. You still got Denver and
Utah
who people forget about. And then Phoenix, you know, they're still young. They kept their roster intact. They're going to be looking to make some damage as well, too. They're on the radar. But this just tells me how tough the West really is. Honestly, it's going to be tough, super tough. There wasn't a lot of moves in the Eastern Conference. A lot of guys stayed where they were. Weren't any big moves. Although the Miami Heat made some big moves.
Absolutely. And I think Chicago got better.
Yeah, Chicago got better as well. Yep. Yeah, they did.
They
made some big moves, too.
And, of course, now you got the Nets. They added Patty Mills. I mean, what a better guy to come off the bench after, you know, what he did in the Olympics. He carried that team.
Right.
So it's going to, you know, it's going to have Boston. So, and then you got Milwaukee. So the East is going to be really tough. It's going to be hard for Milwaukee to repeat. Got Atlanta. So it's going to be extremely hard for the same two teams to come back. It's going to be extremely hard to get to the championship anyway this year. But I tell you, it's going to be exciting. I can't wait to see. Then you got these rookies that are playing great. Green is showing out in summer camp. So
right.
It's going to be interesting to see.
The other thing, these are the things I think, you know, are still kind of in play, in my opinion. I don't know what Washington's going to do. I know they brought in some players, and I guess they're going to try to keep Bradley Beal there. I don't know if they're going to move him, or maybe no one's got a package yet for him. The other thing is, and I thought this guy would be traded before even Westbrook was, and that was Damian Lillard. He's still in Portland. I know they got the new coach with Chauncey Billups. Maybe they're going to see if that works out. Maybe trade him at the deadline. But to me, he's still I think he may start in Portland, but I don't see him finishing the season in Portland.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that. I think he's going to stay maybe one more year to play out his last year. Next year, he'd probably end up with an even higher contract than what Luka got. But we'll see. And I'm surprised he stayed because they really didn't do anything to help him out much. You know,
yeah.
I think Utah got better than they did. They had Rudy Gay and a couple of more players.
Right.
You know, so I don't understand that. Maybe he had the plan. I would love to see him go somewhere else.
Yeah, well, he still can. And I only bring it up because I'm holding out hope that the Mavs can somehow convince the Portland Trailblazers to trade Porzingis for Lillard some kind of way. I don't know how that'll work.
That's a big hope. Yeah.
I don't know how that'll work. Hope. I don't know how that'll work. But everything is possible, right?
Right.
Everything is possible. If you guys are listening to the show, make sure you check us out on Mondays and Wednesdays, starting here now that football's kicking in. You can also call in at 319-527-6059 to call in and join the show. Let's talk a little NFL, Roy, since you mentioned football coming up, and we had one preseason game, of course, the Hall of Fame game. It was a terrible game. The Cowboys played, and it's been pretty much the Cowboys' start to the season. We had three guys going to the Hall of Fame: Jimmy Johnson, Drew Pearson, and also Cliff Harris went to the Hall of Fame. And then we had them play the game. The Cowboys played the game at the Hall of Fame game. And then we had Hard Knocks last night. So it's been a Cowboys start to the season, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, they're all over the news. This is not unusual. They usually dominate beginning of the season. They get everybody's hopes up, like you and other Cowboy fans, and the hoopla is there, but they have yet to show me, you know, and that's what I'm waiting on. I'm pretty sure, you know, with Dak coming back, that was big news. But I have never heard so many F-bombs on a TV show than I did last night.
Well, it's football practice, Roy. Come on now. You play football. I know.
I know.
There's always a few coaches on the staff, on the team, no matter what level of football, from Little League all the way to NFL, there's always a few coaches that this is how they talk.
Absolutely. But I watched it. Dad getting hurt was a big deal. But they're going to show me right now. It's hype every year about the Cowboys. every year I have Cowboy fans and you, we're going to the bowl, but they always come up short. They have a good chance this year, but it won't be easy.
Mm-hmm.
The defense,
you know what,
has to play like on par with the offense.
Yep. That's, you know what, I know after watching Hard Knocks, though, I know exactly why. Well, I know exactly why Jerry pushed to have them on Hard Knocks this year. We have to remember that Jerry is the ultimate marketer. He's the ultimate salesman, right? And I think, honestly, last season had to be one of the worst seasons, not just for Cowboys fans, but, I mean, well, really, yeah, for Cowboys fans in particular, I think a lot of the shine, every year they don't do anything, the shine kind of comes off. And after you come off a season where you only won 6 games in a division that's terrible, you got to do something to get people excited again. And I know exactly why he did the Hard Knocks thing, because he's trying to build that hype again for Cowboys fans to really get behind them all over again. And I think that he used it as a way to kind of get us, you know, fans kind of rejuvenated again and back on the bandwagon. But let's be honest, like you said, they didn't do much. I mean, they did bring in a linebacker. But other than that, I mean, it's the same team just with the quarterback back. And we all know Zeke took a step back last year. And I think this is time to show that, hey, we're back to where we were. We're a better team. But again, they didn't do much in terms of free agency or changing schemes. They brought in a new defensive coordinator, but a lot of it's the same. So I think he's trying to use this as a way to kind of sell to the fan again, like, you know what? We're still the Cowboys. We still got all the hype, but honestly, it's really the same squad, in my opinion.
Yeah, Kellen Moore still calling the offensive plays.
Kellen Moore still calling the plays, right.
Got a new defensive coordinator, which I don't think highly of him after what he did in the Super Bowl against the...
He's a terrible head coach.
Right. And they were 6-10 last year, 8-8 the year before, 8-8 the year before that. I mean, come on, man. You got to at least win 10 games. Not in the East. You can go 6-10 and go in the East. But all the hype is good, but if you come up short, that makes it even worse.
Right.
You know, because like you said, the hype's been there all summer. They talk about Zeke in perfect shape. And got CeeDee Lamb. Prescott's back. Defense will be better. But like I said, they have to show me, man. I mean nothing to me until you make the playoffs or even play for the championship.
Right.
So it'd be a big letdown if they don't make it.
Man, it's going to be huge, man. That's why I say I think he's using this to build the hype. But I've gotten to the point, Royce, and many of our fans over the last 10 years, really the last 12 years, would be kind of shocked to hear me say, but I've kind of grown to the point where I can look past the hype. Even last night, I remember I called you a little excited after I saw Jerry on the screen and talking about his stuff. But then when the show was over, I started thinking a little bit. I said, man, you know what? It's the same thing. It's not, you know, I still need to see what this guy's going to do. I still don't feel comfortable that we made enough changes to really make an impact. And let's face it, we're in the worst division in the NFL. If we can't win this division, then something's wrong. We almost won a division with winning 6 games. Had we won one more game, we would have won the division last year. So we're in a terrible division. One of our teams in the division doesn't even have a name. It is called themselves a football team. The other one, we don't know what they're doing in New York with the Giants. And then, of course, Philadelphia is basically a rebuilding project. They don't necessarily know who's going to be their quarterback yet. So if we don't win this division, I'm sorry, man. It's going to be pretty bad, I think. It's going to be pretty bad if they don't win this division.
Well, you know, if you listen to Jerry's speech, i.e. praise Jimmy Johnson, and I think he saw Jimmy Johnson going to the Hall of Fame. He thought about the time he held up the Lombardi Trophy. It's been a long time. I don't think Jerry will rest in peace until he win another trophy, a Super Bowl. And I think all that's weighing on him. You know, I know he's getting older. He hadn't seen it in a while. He's one of the top owners, like I say, the great marketer. But I think his ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl. And so he's got to pump himself up and also the fans and the team, because that's what he really wants. And I don't think he's going to be satisfied until he get it. But it was a different Jerry Jones this preseason than that before.
Yeah. Well, he definitely had his little speech and had his little tears in his eyes and talked about, you know, how much he did for the Super Bowl.
Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor. Yeah. Jerry's definitely, he understands. He gets it. I mean, if you want to sell some tickets, all you got to do is put somebody in the Ring of Honor, especially Jimmy Johnson.
Oh, they're going to sell tickets, but he wants that trophy, Rodney.
You'd do anything for it.
You'd rather have a trophy than anything, right?
Yeah, you're right about that. I don't know what my expectations are. We got a little time before the season starts, and we'll have our predictions, of course. But I'm going to reserve my predictions for whenever we kind of get to that moment in time a little bit before I make a decision on what I think the Cowboys are going to do.
Well, that's pretty wise, because, you know, years past, you've gone through the same thing. So you should be used to it, but I know you're tired of it too. So until they get there, just go take it week by week, day by day, game by game.
What I want to touch on real quickly too, since we have a little time, is another NFL subject, and I want to get your opinion on, you know, what do you think about some of these players who've already been pretty outspoken about, you know, not getting the vaccine. They know the consequences it could be if they have to forfeit a game. And I'm talking mainly about quarterbacks. You know, you heard Kirk Cousins say he's not going to do it. He's going to basically, you know, surround himself in plexiglass if he has to. And then the other guy I want to touch on is the quarterback in Baltimore, because this guy's been an NFL MVP before. He's kind of the face. He can be face of the NFL for a long time. And he's battled COVID twice. I mean, he's just coming off of COVID.
That's
again. Lamar Jackson we're talking about. And he just battled COVID again. But now he's kind of like, you know, I may not get it. I may not take the vaccine at all. I'm just, you know, again, this is not to be political at all. You know, whatever you decide to do is fine. But when it comes to your workplace and the people around you and the implications of that, I think you may need to take a little bit more precautions just to kind of making sure things happen the right way.
Well, Rodney, you know, I'm an advocate for people getting the vaccine. I don't understand. There's a lot of misinformation out there. You know, I understand these athletes and how they feel about putting stuff in their body. But at the same time, you know, we talking about life and death, and I see the news. I hope they watch the news. I mean, you know, what else can I say but other than that you have to do the right thing, if not for you, for other people. But if you want to get tested every week, if you want to put yourself in jeopardy, you know, I don't understand it, but I think it should be mandatory. I think it's going to be mandatory because if you look around now, these hospitals are demanding, these companies are demanding, you know, and that's part of life. And there are diseases in the world. There's death and there's plagues and there's all kind of stuff happening. So you have to follow the science, and if it's going to prevent you or save your life, I don't know why anybody would put their life at risk. You know, I'm sure everybody wants to live, you know, and a sure way to end your life is to get COVID. So I choose to live. And these guys paid a lot of money. Eventually, I think the owners are going to demand that they get it. And we saw what happened last year. They had to cancel games.
Well, I think the NFLPA is saying that you can't mandate it. You can encourage it, but you can't mandate it. And these rules about the forfeiting games and all that stuff, this is not new. They actually agreed to that prior to last season, that this right. season would be like that. So it's kind of like the players, again, have put themselves in the proverbial box, so to speak. And I'm with you. You know, my reason for getting it was because I knew people that had suffered and actually died from it. And I felt like if I could do anything to protect myself and my family members, then that's what I'm going to do. And this guy's had it twice. So I just don't understand. I know you're healthy. I know you can fight it, but you're dealing with coaches. You're dealing with fans. You're dealing with other people, dealing with family members. I mean, if you caught it twice, I mean, the likelihood to catch it the third time is pretty high, I think.
Well, people caught COVID don't know how they got it. That's a big question. You know, they don't know who they got it from, how they got it. All they know is they have it. And, you know, they have mandatory drug testing.
Right.
So I don't know why they can't mandate getting the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be an interesting season this year, for sure. Interesting season this year.
Absolutely.
Well, Russ, anything else you want to cover before we wrap things up?
Well, that's pretty much it. Free agency, I think it's though we may see a few more moves. I hope the Mavericks make. I think they one more player away. I hated they got rid of Seth Curry. He could have been the guy, you know, to shoot the threes.
Yeah,
so hopefully
he's
the
number one three-point shooter in the league.
Right, you know. So I think they one player away. It's going to be interesting to see them play and how they gel. And I tell you what, watch out for the Golden State Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And watch out for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, no one's talking about them. And they're going to be just as good as always, for sure. They got a chip on their shoulder this time, too. That's a good point. All right, we want to wrap things up. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you check us out on Monday and Wednesdays going forward. We appreciate your calling in today. Feel free to call in anytime. And thank you guys for listening. Make sure you follow us and go to the website. The link is in the show bio, RF Sports Radio. Search us on Google, wherever, and you can't miss us. So thank you guys again, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, goodbye, Rodney.